Back together again, you and I chatting it up Monday style, February 24th, 2025 on Connecticut Today, where I welcomed the Republican State Rep. Devin Carney to the show regarding the pending conditional release of a cannibal killer that's outraged many state residents. I also opened up the show wondering aloud why we can't get a straight answer from the state's leaders, including Governor Ned Lamont, on the overall statewide cost of undocumented migrants and their kids. And CBS News foreign correspondent Chris Livesay updated us on the condition of Pope Francis from Rome. And yeah, we hear about second chances all the time from incarcerated people, but most people would draw the line at somebody who was an admitted cannibal killer. Well, apparently that doesn't wash here in the state. Joining us right now is one of the few legislators, I shouldn't say one of the few, one of the Republican legislators, don't know if there's any on the other side, who are saying, hey, what goes with this? Republican State Rep. Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District, beautiful part of the state, Lime, Old Saybrook, and Westbrook. Had my first paying radio job in Old Saybrook. Hey, Devin, it's Paul here at WICC. How are you?
Good. How are you, Paul?
I'm very good, Devin. And wow, where to begin on this? The people that have called this show, Devin, is like, how is this possible? So, and I know you've been very vocal about this, and you also are the ranking member on the Government Oversight Committee in Hartford. So when you heard about this, what was your thought here immediately?
I just was in shock that someone who committed a crime as heinous as this, who originally was sentenced to 60 years in a facility, could possibly be getting out, you know, after, what was it, 2011 he committed the crime? Mm-hmm. So only, you know, 13, 14 years after he did it. I mean, that's insane.
You know, most people have, a lot of people have called here in my messaging at home. I'm like, can the General Assembly, can they step in and stop this? Can the governor stop this? Again, Devin, we're not talking about a guy that used to hold up gas stations and found Jesus. We're talking about, with all due respect to the guy, and we have mercy on him, he was very mentally disturbed. And what we hear is, well, he's okay if he takes his meds. Really? So what have you guys and gals been able to glean, if anything, on the mechanics of what's going to happen here and the safety of other people?
Well, I mean, the big thing we need to look at is the Psychiatric Review Board and, you know, who's on it. What are they able to do? Because we've run into this other thing with this similar type of thing with the Board of Pardons and Paroles. Mm-hmm. So that's number one. It's really up to the facility to make sure that people are safe, to make sure that neighbors are aware. But we want to shed as much light on this as possible so people see what's going on and how broken our criminal justice system is. I mean, you have someone who's a victim, who's the guy's, I think, sister-in-law,
yeah,
pleading, don't release this guy. And they do it anyways.
State Rep. Devin Carney is the guest right here on WICC, representing Lime, Old Saybrook, and Westbrook. He's the ranking member on the Government Oversight Committee. So, I mean, Devin, can anything be done here? I don't know how this works, but, yeah, these boards have incredible power, but have you heard anything out of the governor's office or anybody there at the Capitol saying, hey, this is not right, we have to do something, or is that even possible under state statute?
I would say probably at this point there's no turning back because they made their decision.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there was, I mean, I don't even know who would appeal it. Perhaps the state could have an interest, but I'm not entirely sure of the process regarding that. I am, you know, very disappointed that Governor Lamont has not commented on this. I don't believe any of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, mm-hmm, have made a comment about this, but I mean, it is truly shocking that someone who did this, who, you know, if they don't take their meds, who knows what's going to happen, didn't even go to the hearing because he was afraid for his safety. I mean, come on, it is comical. It's so insane that our state is allowing this to happen, and I just pray nothing bad happens out of this. Because that would be truly a tragedy and the fault of the state of Connecticut.
And Devin, in this hearing, and there's video of it out there, I encourage people, you can find that it's not a state secret here. There was questioning, I believe, of one of his doctors by a state attorney, if I remember, who said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, please, this is not verbatim, but, you know, this attorney was saying, so basically he's okay if he stays on his meds. Wink, wink. Right. Like if he comes off his meds, the inference was this guy clinically could take a pretty quick turn. That's the inference I got from this.
Yes, exactly. And that's a truly a scary part of all this. I mean, why would you even risk it? Why would you put the public at risk? Why would you put, you know, a family at risk or children at risk to let this guy out way earlier than he was initially sentenced? And it shows how far we have come in, you know, from 2013, I think, when he was sentenced six yeah. years. Now where they're letting him out, I mean, the way we our criminal justice system works has gone so downhill in terms of protecting the public and putting bad people away for a long period of time who commit truly atrocious acts.
Well, Devin, keep shaking the trees on this, please, even if there's got to be more oversight, as you say, about state boards, because a lot of people I talked to, and this made national news over the weekend, they were like, you're kidding? I'm like, no. Republican State Rep. Devin Carney, 23rd General Assembly District, primarily Lyme, Old Lyme, Westbrook, and Old Saybrook. Devin, good to have you on. We'll have you on in the future. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate it. Devin Carney there, who is the ranking member on the Government Oversight Committee, which looks at this stuff. And of course, when in doubt, play the race card. Yeah, when you're a state official or in the General Assembly or in the governor's office and you can't answer or don't want to answer anything, make sure you play the race card because that gives you a little cover, doesn't it? Holy crap, they have a viable question here. Should we answer it? No, shh, don't say anything. Call them racist. Yeah, that'll give us a few days. That's where we can duck and cover for a few days. What am I talking about here? Well, our buddy, our pal from the weekend right here on WICC 600 AM and 95.9 FM, Mike Cerulli. Mike has an interesting piece at news8wtnh.com. This comes from, if you remember this a few days ago, when one of the frequent guests here on the radio station, at least, In this time slot, Carol Platt-Lebow, who I've known for years, who heads the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, she shook a few people up. Oh, they're all a-quiver in Hartford now. Fascinating rhythm, I'm all a-quiver. Remember that one? So apparently, Carol, man, she was shaking the trees because she is citing a number put up by the group FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, and FAIR has been cited as supposedly a racist, a hate group by the vaunted and lauded Southern Poverty Law Center, which in and of itself has got plenty of skeletons in the closet, including Morris Dees, their founder, and they have been termed a hate group too by some other folks. So, pot calling the kettle black, I don't know. But Carol went on News 8 a couple of weeks ago with Dennis House in a Sunday conversation on one of News 8's public affairs show, and she cites this figure that's been out there, I've seen it, I've read it a few times, that the state is spending annually about $1.3 billion on illegals, undocumented migrants without residence, whatever, you know, whatever the euphemism of the week here is on that. And here's the fact. The Lamont people don't want to respond to it. They think it's okay while their minions in the General Assembly attack Carol and attack the Yankee Institute. The Lamont people think it's okay not to answer the question. Now, I don't know about you. I don't believe a word they say when they say they can't answer the question. So this is unfolding, and now the race card is being used here. State Senator Matt Lesser, Democrat Middletown, and nearby communities pushed back on this number, and other legislators saying he sees no evidence of enticement of those in the country illegally. Lesser has been a strong backer of providing Medicaid to kids in the state who do not have legal immigration status. He says here in Mike's story, quote, if you're asking me if a kid in my neighborhood was battling cancer, should they be able to see a doctor when they're sick? Absolutely. Now, Senator, with all due respect, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, what is it costing? Anytime anybody questions this, the Republicans in Connecticut, they're all Trumpers, they're all MAGA. No. Can we just know what it costs? And even more important, we need to know what it costs when we're in an era where we're trying to stay within the fiscal guardrails, and now the governor is pushing back on increases in school funding. But yet, every time a question is asked here, folks, about what are the illegals, the undocumenteds costing us, doesn't mean we're going to truck them out of the state. Every time you have a qualified person say, hey, what is this costing us? We get this bullcrap. And I wish I could use another word, but you know what it is. We get this garbage that we can't figure it out. Come on. How stupid do they think we are? Just give us an answer. That's all. The thing is, they don't want to give you the answer. Stay with me here, because I got stuff to read out of the story. It's going to make your head spin. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Are Republicans and everybody else in this state, is it a racist thing in your mind to simply ask a question? How much is this costing us? Since when did a simple question of how much is all this costing us become racist? So is it racist to simply ask a question of state officials, what is this costing us? That's it. We just want to know, especially in these tight budget times when the governor, and you see him going back and forth now with his own party, the majority party there, about adding money to the budget when it comes to education funding, whatever, and staying within the fiscal guardrails and staying within the spending gap. But man, if you want to talk about an increase in Medicaid, or if you want to talk about, well, what the kids of undocumented migrants are costing school systems, apparently it's verboten. You can't do it. Really? Really? 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Are we living in an alternate universe here where you're not allowed, A, you're not allowed to answer a question if an organization brings it up because, oh, no, that organization is racist. Never mind what are the racist. Is the math right? Now, the math may be off. It may be way off. I don't know. But again, when you're afraid to answer a question, that's a big red flag. In an appearance on This Week in Connecticut with Dennis House, Carol Platt-Lebow, the Yankee Institute, cited a recent study that estimated the total cost of illegal immigration in Connecticut. It's about $1.3 billion. Okay, that's a lot of money. Maybe it's not that. But if it's half that, let's say it's off by 50%. Let's say it's way the freak off by 50%. All right. So if it ain't $1.3 billion, is it $650 million, which I think in my stilted way of doing math quickly in my head would be about half that. Don't we have the right to know that? Now, our buddy Mike Cerulli asks in this story, asked if he thought the figure was accurate, Governor Lamont said, no, it sounds totally fanciful. Okay, Governor. The governor referred the press to members of his administration for figures, saying, take a look at that, ask our guys to verify. So, Journalism 101, News 8, and our buddy Mike Cerulli, he asked Lamont's budget office if the state had their own accounting of the total amount of taxpayer dollars going to those who are in Connecticut without legal status. In a statement, the governor's budget spokesperson said, no, it would take costly and time-consuming academic research to develop an accurate figure. Close quotes. Let me add something on the end of that. Bull crap. Notice how they couch this, too. It would take costly and time-consuming academic research to develop an accurate figure. Come on. That's crap. We're not looking for point-by-point accuracy here. Give us a ballpark figure. And if the governor's office and his OPM secretary and his budget office, if they say they don't have maybe even a general idea on this, they're lying to you. Come on. In the year 2025, and they know what the estimates are. The estimates are in the state that there are between about 110,000 and 130,000 undocumented migrants. Those are the numbers we see thrown out there all the time. And they can extrapolate about how many kids are the kids of undocumented in the schools. They can figure all that out. It doesn't have to be razor sharp, pinpoint accurate. But my God, as taxpayers, don't we have the right to at least get some sort of an answer here without, of course, the majority party in Hartford saying, well, you're quoting a number from an obviously racist organization. Okay, let's assume it's racist. Then what's the number? Give me an idea, a rough figure. The OPM office of the governor's budget boss, with all those great minds that we're always told we have here in Connecticut, give us a rough figure, will you please? Oh, we can't do that. That's crap. Come on. Stop. This is nuts. The FAIR study places the cost of illegal immigration on Connecticut's education system, on education alone, at $689.4 million. Okay, let's round that up to 690, all right? 690. Again, let's say that FAIR is way the heck off. Let's say that FAIR is way off by 50%. Okay. So instead of $690 million, let's say it's, what's half of that? $345 million. All right, that's the true cost, $345 million. So it's a third of $1 billion. Okay, don't the taxpayers have the right to know that? What am I missing here? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. What am I missing here? The arrogance of some legislators, that's what I'm not missing, and the governor's office saying, well, we would need some deep academic research to do that. What, hold a second. Hold on a second. Undocumented citizens arrived here when? Yesterday? Oh, no, this morning at 5:30 in the morning? Maybe they arrived when Melissa was on the air at about 6:30, 6:45. Oh, we need some deep academic research. Come on. Stop it. We're not that dumb. You may think we're that dumb. We're not that dumb. The Office of Policy and Management said school districts do not ask about immigration or citizenship status when students enroll in public schools. Of course they don't, but they have an idea. You can give an estimate. Stop insulting us. The FAIR study placed the cost of illegal immigration on corrections officers and law enforcement officers at about $157.8 million. Okay, so $158 million. So again, let's assume that's off by half. And let's say it's actually $79 to $80 million. A lot of money. The Department of Corrections did not respond to News 8's questions by broadcast deadline on Friday. So again, good for News 8, good for our buddy Mike Cerulli, who's on here every Saturday. They're asking the good questions, and you know what the state's doing? Nah, we're not going to answer. We're not going to answer. Well, can you give us an estimate? No, because that takes deep academic research. What a load of crap. Come on. On the matter of education spending, Lesser noted that federal law and the U.S. Supreme Court precedent generally protects the right of all kids to access public education. That's what the Supreme Court said in the early 80s. All right, Senator, I agree with that. But that's not the issue. These people, they will dodge the issue left and right. They'll play the race card. They'll say you're insensitive when all you ask is, how much is this costing? That's all. Why won't they answer the question? Why won't our state officials from the governor on down respond, not to you and me, but to, say, a news organization like News 8 and our buddy Mike Cerulli on the weekend, who says, hey, by the way, what is this costing? You say that this figure that the Yankee Institute was citing is from a racist organization and they're inflating the cost. Okay, well, then tell us, what's the cost? Well, we can't do that. Why not? Well, you know. No, I don't. Learn me something. Donna's in Trumbull. Donna, hi, you're on WICC. What's up?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good.
I have a couple thoughts about what you were talking about with undocumented children and the Husky insurance or Medicaid.
Yeah.
Every person who applies for Medicaid has to have a Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have a Social Security number, pulling a report 000000000
yeah,
would pretty much tell you in that age group.
Of course.
The other thought, you know, so that it is a bunch of baloney, because if they did accounting 100, they would know how to do it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, so many of these undocumented individuals who live here in the state of Connecticut, they really are, they're paying taxes somehow, either through rent or they bought a Social Security number and they're paying. So I don't know why our government won't just come out and say, yeah, you know what, this is the number.
They want, and Donna, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. The reason they won't do that is because then their critics will say, well, see, this is what happens when you keep giving people stuff on a platter and don't expect any accountability. Donna, thank you. I appreciate it. But you're right. If somebody is added or is attempted to be added on Husky, and now they want to expand that even for undocumented citizens up to, or non-citizens up to what is it, 26 now, hardly a kid, up to 26. You're right. Like Donna said, I mean, I'm pretty dumb, but even Donna explained it to me. If you don't have a Social Security number, ain't that a red flag? A lot of stuff going on here surrounding the Pope. And joining us right now is CBS News foreign correspondent Dave Krista Livesay with us. Hey, Chris, Paul here in Connecticut. Thanks for coming on with us. We had a little bit of a phone glitch here. Great to have you. Chris, what is the latest here? Because there seems to be some contradictory things said about the pontiff. What's going on?
Well, it's really day to day. So we did hear from the Holy See that the Pope has shown some slight improvement, that the early signs of renal failure, of kidney failure that came in last night, no longer seem to be of concern. We found out that the asthma attack, this prolonged respiratory crisis that he went into on Saturday, has not returned. So these are all very promising signs. He was also able to call Gaza, which is something he's been doing since 2023, since the war with Israel and Hamas. Talking to the Christian population that's there on a nightly basis. So the fact that he's able to go back to that routine is extremely encouraging. Nevertheless, the Vatican emphasizes that he's not out of danger and his condition remains critical, and his prognosis is guarded, meaning they still can't predict if he's going to get better or worse.
And he is. This is an 88-year-old man, too. So as spry as he may be in mind, Chris, he's still 88.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's not just 88, but I mean, imagine he has double pneumonia. So that's pneumonia in both lungs. But he doesn't have two complete lungs. He had a part of his lung removed when he was a young man. So a serious condition for anybody, let alone an 88-year-old who has 1.5 lungs. He's overweight. He suffers from mobility problems. He had part of his intestine removed a few years ago for diverticulitis. He was in the hospital the last time for pneumonia as well. So, you know, he's got recurring health problems that have really, you know, come to the fore in the last 4 years. He's been hospitalized four times since 2021.
Yeah. And Chris, finally, obviously, I would think the buzz has begun here, even if the pontiff comes out of this, as to a possible successor here. Are you hearing anything? Are they already making arrangements? What's the deal here?
Well, people are certainly wondering. I mean, even Pope Francis must be wondering if he is capable of returning to being the Pope after this is all said and done. I mean, this is not me speaking here. This is some of the finest minds at the Vatican who are saying these things out loud. I mean, Pope Francis himself said on multiple occasions that if he was ever incapacitated, that he already has his resignation letter drafted. That he wouldn't want to. I mean, so long, he said that he doesn't need his legs to be Pope, meaning, you know, hey, I can do my job from a wheelchair, which he's been doing now for a couple of years, you know, with the mobility problems that he has. But 2025 is a very specific year. It is a holy year. That's the year of Jubilee. Mm-hmm. He has a packed calendar of public appearances. It's incredibly demanding, and this is a man who already has a punishing work ethic. So it remains to be seen what condition he's going to be in if he does get discharged from the hospital, and if he feels capable of performing not just his papal duties, but his Jubilee duties.
Chris Lifsey, CBS News, Rome. Chris, thank you. We appreciate the time. Be safe, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Chris Livesay there. All right, live in Rome. So there you go. So 88 years old, wheelchair bound. Well, he uses a wheelchair. I guess he can still walk a little bit, but wheelchair bound or using a wheelchair. I know people who use wheelchairs don't like that. Using a wheelchair, 88 years old, double pneumonia. Yikes. Had renal concerns over the weekend, had cardiac concerns over the weekend. Yikes. But listen, God bless the guy. No pun intended. 88 and still going. I should hope to live to 88.